Welcome to a new book, Deuteronomy. How exciting. Chapter 1. So Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, we've looked at all the way through, tracking the history of Israel all the way from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land, just across the Jordan River from Jericho is where they find themselves now. They're at the end of Numbers, and right before they go in, God gives them this book, which comes through Moses. And the word Deuteronomy means second law, but it's not a book of repeats. Yes, the law, some parts of the law are given a second time, but the book is mostly taking the law and then interpreting it, giving application, exhorting through it, as you will see. There's a lot of new, exciting material in this book. But as far as the summary goes, there's the summary of what's happened so far in the first three chapters, and then some restatements of the law in the next seven or eight chapters, and then a lot of instructions and warnings and closing prophecies. So you'll find that there's a lot of exciting truths found in Deuteronomy. If you had to pick a key verse, it'd probably be chapter 6, verse 5, if you want to turn there. I mean, it's hard often to choose a key verse, but this one is a beautiful verse, and it says, you've probably heard it before, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus refers back to this verse as the greatest commandment. It's not found in any other of the Old Testament books but Deuteronomy, which is very interesting. Here in chapter 1, Moses is now recounting what has happened so far, if you will. We're not going to look at the whole chapter. It's a very long chapter. But we are going to look at some of it, starting at verse 19, where Moses is taking what has happened and using it to explain where Israel failed. And we know they failed many times, as we've already been studying for months and months. So beginning in verse 14, it says, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshel and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God with goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. So that'll be our title tonight, is you did not believe. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts through your powerful word tonight as we reflect on Israel and their journey and their failures. Lord, I pray we can learn from these failures to not fail in the same way, but to trust our God who can do anything. So you may you be glorified and pleased as we look into your word and apply it to our lives tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember there, verse 20. The Lord our God doth give unto us. We've seen this many times, but the promised land was theirs. Amen. God had already given it to them. He'd already mapped it out. He'd already said, this is yours. I've given it to you as a gift. But as we've looked over and over, they had to go in and they had to fight for it. Which is why we know it represents the victorious Christian life that God wants us to live. And so God told them, verse 21, go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. How many times has God said that already? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. We're going to see it again when he talks to Joshua before they actually go into the promised land. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Over and over again. Don't fear. We've seen why. Because God says that he will go with them. And God says the same to us. Go forward, serve me, do what needs to be done, and don't be afraid because I will be with you every step of the way. And we find at verse 22 that the spies, we thought it was God's idea, but it was actually their idea, wasn't it? Verse 22, it says, and you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land. And so this was already indicative of their lack of faith, because God said, it's already yours. So go take it. They said, well, we'd like to have a look first. We'd like to go in and see what's there before we go in. Yes, it's ours. Yes, God has given it to us. But we'd like to go have a look first. Many Christians, they won't cross the Jordan River and live the victorious Christian life because they're afraid what's on the other side. Too much sacrifice. Before they can live for God the way he wants them to. So they just stay on this side, just look across. And that's not what God wants, of course, because he says there in verse 25, it is a good land. Amen? It's a good land. Everything God gives us is good. All things that work together for good. God always is good. And it's good to us. And so he says, go take it. It's yours. It's a good land. They said, we want to go spy it out first. Verse 26, notwithstanding, you would not go up. So what made God angry? Really, three things. The first was they wouldn't go. Notice verse 26, you rebelled. The second, verse 27, and you murmured. So both things. And then the third, verse 32, you did not believe. So that's our focus tonight, is why did God get angry? Why did God turn them away? Why did God make them wander in the desert for 40 years? Number one, they rebelled against God's commandments. Number two, they murmured and complained about their circumstances. And then number three, they didn't trust God. And they even admit in verse 28, our brethren, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. And we saw this in the book of Numbers. That the spies, yes, they discouraged the hearts of the people with their report. Ten of the 12 discouraged the hearts of the people with their report and said, yes, it's amazing. Here's the fruit. It's beautiful. It's well favored and watered. But there's walled cities and giants. And we can't do it. And they discouraged the people's hearts and they listened to the 10 spies and said, we can't go. We can't do it. Verse 29, this is Moses. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Yes, there are battles, but don't be afraid. Isn't that a great phrase? Yes, there are battles. Yes, there's going to be battles. And to take the promised land, there were going to be multiple battles. Every city, every region required battles. So Moses didn't lie to them. He didn't say it's just going to be a piece of cake. You're just going to go cruising in there. He said, yes, there are battles, but be not afraid. And God says the same to us. Yes, there are battles. There are battles involved in living for God. There are battles involved in standing for God, being his servant, being his steward, being his soldier. There's battles. There's battles involved in living and obeying God's word, in serving God, because the devil is going to fight us if we choose to do that. But God says, there's battles, but don't be afraid. Paul even said, pray that there be an open door for me, that I can go forward and plant more churches. And he says, and there are many adversaries. Yes, God has given me an open door. Yes, God is using me to plant churches. And there are many adversaries. Moses says, there are battles. But don't be afraid. Look, why should we not be afraid? Verse 30, the Lord your God with go before you, he shall fight for you. Do we not serve the same God? Is he not in us and with us and will never leave us nor forsake us and has promised to be with us unto the end of the world? Amen. He says the same to us. There's many battles. Don't be afraid. Why? Because he will fight for us. And God promises this all through the Old and the New Testament, that if we have to fight some battles, and we will, to do what needs to be done to serve God, he'll fight them for us. Verse 31, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place. He said down in verse 33, he went in the way before you, in the fire by night, to show you in a cloud by day. In other words, look back. What God's already been doing since he pulled you out of Egypt, he's been leading you every step of the way. He's been raining down manna from heaven. He's had the cloud sitting there and the fire sitting there. He's led you. So why get afraid and stop now? He's with us. He's given us the land. Yes, you got to fight, but don't be afraid because he is with us. And then the root of it. So we see verse 26, they rebelled. Verse 27, they murmured. But the root of it, verse 36, yet in this thing, you did not believe. That's the bottom root problem of it. They wouldn't trust God. That God can do anything. We get to the New Testament, Matthew 13, 58. Let's turn there. What does Jesus say about not trusting God? It is a basic thing for Christians that we need to trust God. We trusted him for our eternal destiny through salvation. Amen. That's a lot of trust. And yet often we see these giants, we see these walled cities, and we can't trust him to help us fight. Matthew 13, 15, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It was all about lack of faith that held back often Jesus from doing works in certain places. Another one, Mark 11, 22, if you would turn there. He's talking to the disciples. They have just had a frustrating situation where they couldn't heal a child. And Jesus answering Mark 11, 22, saith unto them just four words, have faith in God. Gentlemen, trust God. Trust the Lord. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Trust God. He says the same to us. If we rebel, if we murmur, it's just a lack of trust. Because if we'll trust God, we can cross that river, we can go in, and we can live the life God wants us to live. It's going to require some fighting. We know this. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. But what happens when we don't trust God? Well, we all know this, but let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 11. That we cannot please God. Hebrews 11, what is faith? Verse 1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Once Israel made that decision to not trust God, he couldn't be pleased. He'd already said, this is your land. I brought you all the way across the desert from Egypt. Go in and take it. And they said, no. We're too afraid. We can't do it. They did not believe. And that's what angered God. As we see here in 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. God had already shown them, I take care of you. I'm feeding you. I'm protecting you. I'm leading you. I've given you the land. It's a beautiful and amazing land. It is yours. And that generation, as we know and as we saw, is the generation that had to turn around and wander for 40 years and die in the desert. Not because God couldn't do it, because they wouldn't trust God. Look at Psalm 56, verse 3, if you would. David understood this principle. He understood that the opposite of trust is fear. And the opposite of fear is trust. And you can't have both. And Israel was afraid. They were afraid of going in and fighting these battles. Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear. So notice in verse 3, what time I am afraid. So if there is fear that tries to creep into my life, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. And if I do trust God, verse 4, what happens? I will not fear. So those two things can't cohabitate, can they? Fear and trust. Fear is an absence of trust, and trust is an absence of fear. That's what David's teaching us here. And Israel said, no. We're not going in. We can't do it. God brought us here to kill us. How sad that they would believe such a thing about God. And notice it says in verse 37, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. We know that story where Moses smote the rock two times because he was so tired of dealing with this mob. But the rebellion, the murmuring, and the lack of faith, what did it lead to? Verse 34, the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men in this evil generation see that good land. You've made your decision. You've chosen to say no. You've chosen to murmur. And you've chosen not to trust me. And that brought the wrath of God more than anything. Another example is in Genesis 18. If you want to turn there, this is back when Abraham was told that he was going to have a child in his old age. Genesis chapter 18. Let's see if we see a similar thing. Down in verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Which is the name of Isaac, laughter. So if one of the ways to make God angry, don't trust him. And David understood this. How many psalms do we love and read and memorize that talk about trusting God? Trust in the Lord with all what? Thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. We could go on and on all night, couldn't we? But what's the result of rebelling, murmuring, and not trusting? He says, verse 38, he shall go in thither, talking about Joshua, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. But before that, he says, they are going into the desert. And how many Christians are wandering in the desert today? Because they won't trust. They instead say it's too hard. They complain. They say, I can't do it, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to put you first in my life. I just can't do it. I can't trust you enough. And God gets wroth and says, you need to go wander for a while. How sad. And that's what he said to them. Verse 39, your little ones, which he says should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you. Take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As for you, as for this generation, anybody over 20, it's done. You said no. You complained about me, talking about God. And you said we can't do it. You did not believe, as we saw there in verse 32. Verse 40, turn you. Turn around. Now, we didn't read it, but later on in the chapter, they said, oh, okay, we were wrong. Let's go. And God said, it's too late. If you try to go up now, you're just going to lose. And what do? They went up and they lost. It was a waste of time and a loss of life. But instead, they went and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Why? One reason. Verse 32, you did not believe. Lack of faith leads to issues in our Christian walk, doesn't it? It can lead to murmuring, which is complaining. It can lead to disobedience, not living for God as He commands us to. So we've got to trust Him. How many times did Jesus say, have faith in me, trust me, I can do anything. Just believe me, just trust me. How many times did God say in the Old Testament, is there anything too hard for me? Believe me, trust me, over and over. And one of the ways to make God angry is saying, Lord, well, we saw God get angry even with Moses in the beginning of Exodus, didn't we? God said, Moses, I need you to go rescue my people. What did he say? I can't do it. And the Lord got angry. Why? Because he couldn't trust God at that point to do it through him. He tried to offer up excuses. There are none. You know why? Because God lives in us. Amen? The day we were born again, he moved in, made us his temple, gave us his power. He says, let's go. Let's cross that Jordan. Let's live for Christ. Let's not be like Israel and rebel and murmur and say, I can't do it. Let's go. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed to learn so many great lessons from your children in the Old Testament, and I pray that we would learn this lesson. Lord, that you just wanted them to believe that you can do anything, and that if you tell us to do something, you'll do it through us. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. So, Lord, I pray that would be us, that we wouldn't hesitate to go forward and live the victorious Christian life. You've called us to live that abundant life that Jesus promised. May we live it for you. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.